From their basement lair, join one man who spends way too damn much on toys, and the other who lives vicariously through his purchases. This is David Duvall's Toys and Collectibles. And now, welcome your hosts, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper.
Ladies and gentlemen, the toy bar is open once again for another week of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
I'm Dave.
And I'm Duvall. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Duvall.
How are you?
Apparently better than you.
I'm in a lot of pain.
Are you?
I hurt so bad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I woke up Monday.
I was going to give you a hard time about it, but yeah. It's apparently a real thing. So
I woke up Monday not feeling well.
Yeah.
Like, my right ear hurt really bad. The whole side of my face was warm. And it hurt to talk. And I was like, oh, do I have a toothache or something? And I went to the doctor, and my ear just wouldn't stop hurting. So I went to the went to prompt care, and I was like, hey, can you look at my ear? I'm like, it hurts really bad. Well, I've got an external ear infection.
Ew.
Yeah. So
it's better than an inner. I had an inner once in
it hurts,
grad school.
Hurts just as much.
The inner one doesn't hurt. The inner one is like you move your head a fraction of an inch, and you're like vomiting everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
It's like being on the
because it takes your
zero gravity.
Out.
Yeah, and watch it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm-hmm. So yeah, I've went to work yesterday, struggled through about pretty much all of the day, but 2 hours, and was finally like, I got to go home, and came home and put drops in my ears and literally laid on the couch all night and watched TV and just suffered in agony. I was just like, so we were supposed to record this last night. And then, of course, I sent you a text going, I suck, it hurts, no text, no potty for me. Not to those words, but
something like that, yeah. It was pretty close approximation.
Yeah, it sucked. But I'm okay. I hurt really bad today.
Is it better, though?
I mean, yeah, and to top it off, I've got I somehow developed a little tiny canker sore underneath my lip, and that hurts even just as much because it hurts really bad to talk.
Jeez, nice.
I know, I'm falling apart. Sunday was great, and then
Sunday
falling
you were
apart.
Fine.
And then
I don't remember you sticking anything in your ear.
No,
That auction house is not the cleanest place.
No, it is not. But yes, Dave and I journeyed to Folk's Auction in Blue Mountain, Illinois yet again. I think Dave came away the victor in this one, but Dave has a very... Dave found his... his ying to Dave's yang, or I should say your yang to your ying.
Whether or not we wanted to really bother to go.
Right.
Well, we get there, and there's like a whole bunch of G.I. Joe
that
stuff
wasn't even pictured. Right.
And I'm like, neat. And most of it was junk. You know, there was like a Cobra Rage. Like the original vintage Cobra Rage.
Right.
There was one of the Destro thing, the tank that's also a helicopter. And then they had the Dominator, too. No, not the Dominator.
The Spoiler? Is that
the Spoiler? Yeah. And then they had they had another one that was like all... Most of them were in parts.
But the one you wanted the most...
There was one that I really wanted, which is the Warthog.
Right.
Which is like their version of the Bradley, kind of.
Right. And it was complete.
It was complete, and it was in good shape.
Yeah, it was very good shape. Had all its missiles, had everything to it.
So I was kind of like, ooh, I really want to bid on that. And there were a couple other things I wanted to bid on, too.
Well, the key thing before you go on is they had a Tiger Force...
Rat, that's
but somebody else. Had snapped the wings off.
The tips of the wings.
Yeah.
Just the tips.
Yeah.
And in both sides, too. It's almost like imagine that they're trying to fly between two buildings that are just a little too narrow.
And they just snapped those wings right off.
Yeah, and that was a shame, because that's a rare one.
Yeah, that's a really rare vehicle. And it was in okay shape. The canopy was kind of beat up, but it's the same canopy from a Rattler, so...
Yeah, I got some of the missiles in that part lot that I got.
Yeah, yeah.
There are all kinds of random Tiger Force missiles and stuff. But, so anyway, we looked around, and there were some other things. We got a seat, and this kid comes in, and there was a whole family, because there was a kid, and then he had a younger brother and a younger sister.
Yes.
There was a mom, and I think a dad. Yeah, the dad, because the dad brought the kid the knife.
Yes.
But this kid, first of all, he didn't look like he belonged to that family.
No,
he didn't look like he belonged to any family.
No.
Like, he was dressed in, like, these orange Hawaiian shorts, and he looked like, and I swear to God, he looked like Shia LaBeouf. From the first film, Holes. Or not the first film, Holes. I guess
From his first big film, Holes.
I really shouldn't make fun of anybody's weight. But let's just say that he wasn't eating poorly.
Let's say that he was uncomfortable
Where Shia was kind
skin.
Of underfed, he was very well fed.
Yes.
Not ridiculously fat, but he was
a little chubster.
He was a sizable boy.
Like Dave said, not to make fun of anyone's weight, but that's the best way to explain him, is he was a chubster.
Yeah, he was kind of a chubby Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
dressed like Patrick from SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yes, very much so.
And the whole point is that, like, during the entire pre-auction, like, he built a house. That's how we used to say it back in college. He just stayed at the G.I. Joe section. And yes. He just hovered over it and was just looking at it. And apparently, like, this is probably where you got sick. I noticed that he came over at one point, and he was, like, sneezing into his hand, and he was touching things.
Yeah, he was pretty disgusting.
Yeah, but, like, just constantly hovering. And because he had the curly hair, I dubbed him Hobbit Head.
Yes, you did dub him Hobbit Head.
Hobbit Head. So Hobbit Head was my nemesis, and I was like, man, Hobbit Head thinks he's going to get that warthog. He's got nothing coming.
And Dave desperately, desperately, desperately tried to stare laser bolts into this kid's head.
Oh, yeah. I had ears for this kid.
Yeah, Dave was like, I will kill this child. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, he can have anything else, but yeah, he goes after the warthog, and he's going to learn a hard life lesson right there. And when the auction actually started, like, it was funny, because there were some seats in front of us that were open, and I don't think you had noticed who he was with, because the other two kids sat down in front of us.
Right, I didn't notice, yeah.
And then he finally joined them. Well, the girl got up and left, and he joined the younger brother.
Right.
And you were like, ooh, look, I'm like, yeah, I know, because I've been watching this kid like a hawk. Right. I know everyone he's with. And it was funny, because he was, like, basically being the older brother and being a dick and picking on this younger brother.
Yes.
Because, you know, Hobbit Head's a horrible, horrible person.
Yes, the entire time.
Did not learn
time.
Any lessons from G.I. Joe about responsibility or honor or
none
taking care
all.
Of the weaker than you.
Not at all.
The best part is, the dad apparently won one of the auctions for one of the many, 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 many knives
being
sold that day. I mean, they sold, like, just knife after knife after knife.
Knife and,
knives and...
What was the
big
thing?
A lot of cap guns.
A lot of cap guns. What was the big thing they kept picking up? They kept picking up those jugs, like the old...
Oh, crockware. Yeah, earthware. Yeah.
Earthware.
Oh, God.
So much earthware.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
And the bad thing about this is that we go to these auctions, they usually get to some of the stuff we want to buy pretty much right off the bat. They pull stuff off those tables.
It seems like it's random, you know, and you'll get at least one or two things early on, and then you got to, like, wait forever for that last thing that you want.
Right.
This time it was, like, everything we wanted came up at the end.
Yes. So we sat there.
Which wasn't really a bad thing.
No.
Because, like, your
both of my nemeses had left.
Yeah, like, they got bored and left eventually.
The younger kid who seems to just buy any random 80s stuff and bought my GoBots display case, that son of a bitch, I know he did.
No, that was a phone bid.
No, it was a blind auction, but he left way before the auction was over. Yeah, he left. So, and then, of course, last week, I had actually called, put in a bid for an Air Raiders Twin Lightning in a box they had, and won it. So, that was waiting for him, but they, of course, surprise, surprise, we get there, there's another one on the table.
They had another Duke, too.
Yeah, and another Duke. I'm like, God damn, how much of this stuff do they have? It's just it's starting to become the same shit. It's like, well, my doll nemesis... nemesis who have been buying all the doll stuff. They had a sealed Lady Lovely Locks horse, which is a rare line. Not a lot to that line. There weren't many dolls out for it, but it's one of those lines I look at and go, if I ever found them in box for a decent price, I'd buy them. Well, they, of course, they bid on them, and at one point I had leaned over. She had gone up and
asked
the guy.
Yeah, you were being buddy-buddy with him.
I was trying.
See, I would never be friendly with Hobbit Head.
I was trying. I was like, hey, you know.
You make no peace with... Because the thing is, you tip them off to what you want, and then they get snotty about it. And they go after it.
These old biddies weren't snotty, and I knew she was going to go after it anyway. So I didn't have a chance, because I don't have that deep pockets. Because they literally paid way too much for it. But everything they bid on, including, you know, in my opinion, even the Twin Lightning that was there. Because
you skipped that. Because they went after that. And you were like, oh my God, they're going after boy toys
now. And I even mentioned, I was like, oh, that's not your normal fare. You guys usually buy dolls. And she's like, oh, we just started to buy anything 80s toys. Because I'm like, fuck me. Like, I really don't want to have to go to these auctions and fight these old biddies who have deep, deep fucking pockets.
I know.
Like, never-ending money source.
I know.
But they left. They finally had enough and left. They had their fill and took off. So, you know, the rest of the auction comes up, and Dave wins all his G.I. Joe stuff.
Well, the G.I. Joe thing came early on. That was, like, the first thing that came up.
Right.
Because there were still people bidding, and there was like, a bidding war on that. Because there were several items, and they did what they call a choice of.
Yes.
So, they also had, like, the armor bot, and they had a couple other things. So, like, I just wanted the Warthog. So, I kind of overpaid. I paid about 36 35. Bucks. Yeah.
Yeah, 35 bucks.
For the Warthog. Which is actually cheaper. Like, I looked on eBay, and it's cheaper than any complete one on eBay's going for.
That's what we said afterwards. You were like, I think I overpaid on that. And I leaned over to you and said, no, I'm pretty sure you'd probably pay that or more on eBay with shipping. So.
Well, let me put it this way. In terms of my budget for the day, I overpaid on that.
Yeah.
And then, like, later on, when there weren't as many people there, you know, like, they had a lot of lots of just random junk, like, right. like the leftover junk, like the stuff you find at the bottom of your G.I. Joe toy drawer. They were, and you know, there were a couple of gems in there.
There were a couple. There was a
Tiger Force Recondo.
Right.
There were a couple of guns that I actually needed.
That's cool.
And the weird cool thing is there were a bunch of file cards, a bunch of card backs.
Yeah.
From later series figures, and I've been picking up later series figures, you know, off and on.
Right.
And I didn't really, you know, I would just pick them up. I didn't have like the card backs, and a lot of those figures that I have. Those were the card backs to them, which I never had the file cards for.
Yeah.
So I'd say about 5 or 6 of those I had the figures for without the file cards.
That works out well. Plus there was also. See what I mean? I'm having trouble talking.
Yeah, okay.
There was also 2 Action Force pieces in there that were actually labeled Action Force. Yeah,
that was cool. That was weird. There were a couple of pieces from some of the smaller kind of playset things.
Like the tent.
The bivouac. Yeah, the bivouac and the supply depot. And the big crate for the supply depot and the tent from the bivouac had Action Force stickers on them instead of G.I. Joe, which means it came from overseas.
Which is very cool, which is something you don't see a lot.
Yeah, no.
Especially not in the Midwest of all places.
Not like a junk thing in the Midwest.
No, not at all. So that was kind of cool for Dave to... For, like, I looked at it and went, hey, look, I'm like, this is Action Force on it. Yeah. I bet you no one realizes what that is.
Mm.
And Dave was like, oh, snap, you know?
Yeah.
So that was cool. That was cool to find.
Yeah.
That's
$5.
That's about all you got this week was G.I. Joe stuff.
No, I got the...
got the Robo 1.
Robo 1, the RoboCop's car.
Which I keep trying to push on. I've got the motorcycle. I'm like, hey, you want the motorcycle? I'll sell it to you.
Yeah.
Sell it to you for cheap.
We'll look at that later.
Yeah.
I was looking around trying to find that. I don't know.
Oh, it's upstairs. It's in the closet.
Oh.
That was stuff that we bought that I was like, I don't really want. And, you know, we'll try to see if we can sell it. And, you know, not really trying to make a buck on it, but just like, let's see if we can... Because it was... with other stuff, and I'm like, well, we'll see if we can make our money back on it. So it's up in the closet along with my Wayne Gretzky that nobody wants. Poor Wayne Gretzky. Nobody wants the fucking great one. It's bullshit.
Yeah, well.
But, no, you found Rebel One, and you found, you ended up winning.
I got the Warthog, and then I got like 3 flats.
Yeah.
One flat was just like vehicle chunks.
Yeah, like.
And that's the best way to describe it is chunks of vehicle.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is, when I got home and like was looking at everything, I realized, remember, like, in those choice of auctions, they had 2 little vehicles?
Yeah.
Those were part of, like, the middle part of that was in that chunk of stuff. It was still missing a ton of...
Well, yeah.
It cost me a fortune to try to put that together.
Yeah, but...
But, yeah, so those went to those. And then another one was, like, the figures, and it had the Action Force stuff. And then the third one was actually older 70s... And yes. 60s stuff.
Yeah.
And it had a lot of paperwork.
It had
the,
awesome.
The sailor manual. And like the, it came with the original G.I. Joe and the marine manual.
Which were awesome.
And it had the speed
which,
from the
Seawolf. Which they were in okay shape. The back of
the marine one was ripped up a little, but the
everything inside was still there.
Yeah, but the sailor one was fine.
Yeah, and it had the deep sea diver, like the instruction manual on how to put his suit on. And
yeah.
Some really cool stuff in that. Like just odds in it. Just odds in it paperwork stuff that was really neat.
Yeah.
It had some bellows to the...
It had the bellows to the Seawolf. Actually, there were 2 flats, and they both each had bellows for the Seawolf. And then the one that I got had the squid.
Yeah, which you actually have a Seawolf.
I have a Seawolf. I actually dug it up and tried to clean it up a little.
Neat.
It looks a lot better.
Neat.
Yeah, that's a toy that I had. The one that I have now is not the one that I had then, because I beat the shit out of
it.
It
was one of your first eBay purchases,
It was
right?
one of my first eBay purchases, because it was a toy that I had as a kid, and I loved, and I always wanted, and played with it to death. So I do have one.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
Yeah, it was cool. Apparently, somehow you got a crippling disease from Blue Mound.
It diseased me somehow. I came away with a couple things. I think I ended up spending, $45 or something like that.
Yeah, but that was split between last week's.
Yeah, and this week's.
The Air, the Twin Lightning. And
yeah, but I came away. I got some lunch
boxes.
You
got a couple neat things. Yeah, you got the Muppet Babies lunchbox.
Muppet Babies lunchbox. Metal Muppet Babies lunchbox with the thermos. One of the turtle lunch boxes that came out after the movie that has its thermos, which is kind of neat. A little robot that we couldn't figure out what it was.
Robotech!
Dave realized it was a Robotech robot.
Because the copyright's faster.
Yeah, and apparently it had an extra leg with it. So, because its leg pops off, you hit it in the chest, its leg pops off, it's supposed to fall over. Trying to think what else was there.
Poor Mork.
Oh, yeah, a talking Mork and Mindy cloth doll from the 70s. that the player was broke. So I cut his ass open and pulled the player out, and of course the actual
I'm sitting there like I'm watching some kind of bizarre episode of CSI where he's like gutting this thing and pulling its butt apart, and it's like
the drive belt on this whole thing was literally had evaporated. Like it literally I pulled it out of there and it just fell apart in my hand.
I mean, basically it's a glorified rubber band and it has rotted away.
Yes. So now that I got it open and I kind of fixed it a little bit, and I just need a new drive belt for it. I'm pretty sure it'll work right. And if not, I know the person who I can send it to that'll fix it for pretty cheap. So, I mean, it's not that I really need it to work. I was just curious because I think I paid $7 for him and came with his box. So,
because that was one of the last. That was literally, I think, the last thing we got.
Yeah, because nobody bid on him, and I was like, whatever.
I mean, that was the one kind of good thing about like all our stuff being held to the end.
Yes,
is that for most of it, there was nobody else bidding on it.
No. There was another Masters of the Universe Battle Bones that went for like $28 or something like that. That had I had some extra money and thought about it, I would have done it just to have. But I'm not. You know, Masters line is interesting because
if you say so.
Well, I got questioned a couple weeks ago about. Just talking about my Master stuff, and I was like, I really only have three vintage Masters figures. I have a Manny Faces, a Snout Spout, and a Grizzlord without his weapons. And they looked at me and was like, that's all you have? And I'm like, that's it. I'm like, I'm not really into buying vintage Masters figures. Like, there's too many of them. It's a line I loved as a kid, but it's like, I really, you know, everybody collects Masters figures, and it's like, I don't.
Nah, not everybody.
Not everyone, but it's like, it's a major thing, and I'm like, I just want to stick to odds and inside stuff like my aerators. I think I'm missing one small vehicle. I've got both the large vehicles now. I need both the giant vehicles and the playset. I think that's it for that line, pretty much. So, Sky Commanders, I'm not even going to try unless I keep finding pieces of it mint in box for decent prices, because eBay prices are ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It was an interesting excursion Sunday out to Blue Mound.
Blue Mound, yeah.
Yeah, to find some stuff. Did you go toy hunting last week after we recorded?
No. I think last week was the week that I found my Marvel Legends. So,
Series 2 or Series 1? Series 2?
Series 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think that was the week that Toys R Us got their truck Tuesday.
Neat.
It was weird, because they got their truck Tuesday, but they put out their Skylander stuff Wednesday.
Yes.
So I went in, and there was pretty much nobody there, and I went in, and I got the Complete Wave, and I got my Armin Zola.
Zola, yeah.
Who's not quite as cool as I was hoping.
Really?
Well, I don't like that the face on the chest is like a cartoon. Uh-oh. As opposed to like a sculpt.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a sticker, basically.
It's not quite a sticker, but it's not a sculpt. It's not a sculpt the painting thing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm a little let down by that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the rest of the figures are Hasbro Marvel Legends, which is like, you know.
Right.
Mixed bag. I mean, it's cool to have them, and there's some interesting characters in that mix, but.
Yeah.
You know, it's still not as good as Toy Biz. But anyway, right. So I did go there, and that's about it. And then the next day, there was this huge, I mean, like, crazy line outside of Toys R Us.
Really?
And I was like, what the hell is that? I actually snapped a picture with my camera phone, which maybe I'll put up in this thread.
Yeah, there you go.
And there's a car that blocks about half of it.
Right.
But and they put out the Skylander stuff on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And there was like that whole crowd was there for Skylander and just
really
just charged right in. And
wow.
But now they're like one per customer, so they actually had stuff left over and
neat.
Yeah.
Skylanders is one of those odd lines that is gaining momentum quickly with a lot of. Well, it's been gaining since Christmas.
Gaining like the last 3 weeks, man. There's been this lady at Toys R Us every week, and she got her kid slung over her shoulder, and she goes running in there. Like it's a Roland Emmerich movie, and she's running away from something, you know? Like, Skylanders.
That's pretty crazy.
Good God!
Somebody asked me. I was talking about it. Somebody online, and they asked me, "Are you buying the? Are you into Skylanders?" And I was. I think somebody asked this on the show one time. Chris Vent's into them really heavily, and a couple other people we know are into them. And it's like, I don't have time to play the game.
I got no beef. I got no beef, but like...
No, I don't either.
I got no beef, but that's a road I'm not going to go down.
No, not at all. I mean, I've seen that fad before. I've seen what it can cause. You know, it's... Skylanders is Beanie Babies with a video game.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, I don't want to take anything away from anyone buying it. I know it's a spectacular game. I know the mechanics of it are great. It's a solid platformer kind of thing. The figures are kind of cool, but it literally, to me, looking at it, it's Beanie Babies with a video game.
Yeah.
Only kind of cooler.
It's much a cooler. It's a craze and it'll crash.
It will eventually. I mean, you know, the collectors that are buying it now, the prices on the stuff online are ridiculous.
Oh, I bet.
And that's always a good indication of a line that's just simply here and gone tomorrow, basically. Yeah. And it's sad to say, because they spent a lot of money and are doing a lot of cool things with it. They're bringing out giant figures next and a lot of other cool stuff. And it's just like, yeah. I don't know. I stopped following video games a long time ago, so it was never on my radar. I remember playing with the stuff when it came into Toys R Us, when I was there shopping, right after Good Morning America. I was in there shopping and playing with it, and putting the figures on the stand, and going, oh, that's kind of neat, you know?
Yeah, I remember they, like, before it became, like, a big thing, you could go in and look, and they had a bunch of them.
Oh, they had looked through them, and full. Yeah. Nobody was buying it yet, so that was kind of cool. But I just not something that I'm into. I mean, I respect it. I think it's a great thing for collectors and kids. It's just, it's the same with Trash Pack. You know, people are so heavy into Trash Pack. It's one of the top three properties in the toy aisles right now.
That's what I hear. So show me.
And I've got a few, but I can't get into. I'm like, what am I going to do with all these little guys? They're neat, but it's like people, you know, people that we know personally in our lives are gaga over them.
Yeah, I know. Like, well, to get back to something I kind of hinted at earlier, our pal Wheeler, who, by the way, we'd like to wish a belated happy birthday to.
Happy birthday, Sean.
Happy birthday, Sean. He's really into them, and he sent me like some text one time, like, I can't find this, you know, the garbage truck. And I'm like, I have no idea.
A lot of guys into him might.
I have no idea of what you speak. He's like, the trash bag. I'm like, I have, okay, whatever, neat.
Yeah, I think, actually, I saw it on Twitter today, and I don't think I looked at it close, but I'm pretty sure our buddy Mike Lacey is into him, and just a number of people are really heavily into it. And I look at him, and I'm just like, eh.
Yeah, I'm kind
of like,
you.
It's cool, you know, and I don't know, like, it's the same thing with me, you know, after I did that that My Little Pony review for the mini ponies, somebody asked me, are you collecting them all? And I'm like, no, I'm like, I seriously just want the main cast, and I could care less about all the rest of these random fucking ponies that aren't in the show, like Bumble Sweet and Fizzy Pop, and, you know, some of these probably are, and I just don't know, Sweet Cream Scoops and Firecracker Burst, and it's like Lucky Swirl. Cherry Spun. I'm like looking at these figures going, I haven't watched all the show. I haven't made it that far into the first season, but pretty sure some of those characters aren't even in the show. I just want the main, like, core cast of characters. You know, that's all I care really, really care about. So,
yeah.
It's just not something I can get into. It's like, oh, God, you know.
Well, isn't the trash thing also like a blind bag thing?
It is, yeah.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah. It's the same with the ponies. It's a blind bag thing.
Yeah, the only thing I'll do that for is the Legos, and even then I try to cheat as much as possible.
Yeah, it's... Ugh.
I hate that, because I was into... After Magic the Gathering hit back in the day...
Right.
That's sad that that's now ancient history, too.
I know, right? Well...
That scares the hell out of me.
Well,
but
that
game
is still
it's still around,
huge,
but they were all the knockoffs, and they did Star Wars.
Right.
And as you can imagine, I spent a fortune. And all I wanted was a complete set. I didn't want to play. I just wanted a set of the cards.
Right.
And just drop the fortune, because, you know, like, there's one rare card per thing, and blah, blah, blah. And
right.
That just taught me that the blind pack things are bad.
Yeah.
Bad. They'll suck your soul.
Ugh.
Eat your money.
Yeah, no, they will. Very, very quickly.
We don't play that.
I don't know. That's one of those lines that's just like, I just can't. I can't do it. I bought a couple to see what they were, see what the hype was. They're cool. It's another line I'm like, all the props, all the, you know, something that's really breaking the mold and getting people out and looking, collecting, especially collectors, you know. It's just not. I just can't do it. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
Just cannot do it. While we were sitting here talking, I was going through Twitter just to look at, see what questions were there, and I happened upon Damon Lindelof, who was the, you know, one of the showrunners on Lost.
Yeah.
He's writing Star Trek 2. this will get us into our turtle conversation for this week.
I was wondering when we were going to do that.
Damon Lindelof retweeted this with the hashtag, what Bay wants to say, and it just says, fuck you and fuck your fucking turtles, nerds. That is... I can imagine that is what Michael Bay is saying right now, actually. Probably. I know just this last week, we talked about it briefly. last week.
We did touch on it.
Only because I didn't want to cover it too heavily because there was still a lot of anger out about it. There's still a shit ton of anger. Don't get me wrong. People are still just fucking pissed about this concept of them being some alien race from a distant planet and not mutated turtles. Michael Bay came forward and said, hey, you know, the fans need to take a chill pill. You haven't even read the script. You haven't seen anything yet. You don't know. Kevin Eastman, who's, you know, one of the co-creators, is working with him, and he's come out in Michael Bay's defense, and he's like, oh, you know, I'm working closely with the writers and Michael Bay and the directors, and we're really striving to give you guys, you know, I'm paraphrasing. I don't know what he actually said
here. He said something. The weird thing is, first, it was reported that he said something like, you know, I always wanted to bring in more turtles and find a way to do that. And people were like, oh my God, they're going to have a planet full of alien turtles. And he said, no, that's not what I meant.
Right. And the writers have come out and said, you know, we're really big fans of the show. We're really big fans of the comic. We love the characters. You know, we're trying to bring, you know, we're working really closely with Kevin Eastman to try to bring something new to the table. And then the director came out and said, you know, we're all fans. We're really trying. So now they're really trying to backpedal.
But they always say that.
Well, but, you know.
They always say, oh, no, we love the property. Today. We respect it. No one comes out and says, you know what, your stuff is garbage. I mean, Bay never actually said it during the Transformers. But it was like, you know, the impression was, look, the stuff you grew up with is garbage, and I'm going to make it better. So just sit down and shut up and eat what I'm going to feed you.
And it pretty much was that way.
I mean, that was the attitude, though.
That was the attitude, but that's the attitude Bay has with everything. That was the attitude he had.
Why I wasn't particularly thrilled to find out he was, A, associated with Turtles, and B, won't let go of Transformers.
And that was the attitude he had with Pearl Harbor. Because half of that movie was factual.
Well, to be fair, that one panned out.
Well, didn't make nearly as much money as they thought it was going to.
Oh, didn't it?
No.
Hmm. Well, then perhaps you should take that attitude and shove it where the sun don't shine.
Ouch.
I was being sarcastic about it panning out.
Ouch. But no, it's, you know, I don't know what goes through Bay's head. Somebody tweeted earlier that they believe that Bay high-fives himself in the mirror every morning.
Yeah, I believe it.
It's.
I was going to say, when you said what goes through his head, I was thinking naked women and explosions.
Yes. I just find it odd that, like, all of these, you know, all these people that are working on the film are coming forward and like, no, it's going to be great, you're going to love it, we promise, you're going to love every minute of it. And it's like, and, you know, and now,
again, what are they going to say?
And now
it's like, no, look, okay, you guys need to suck it up. It's, you're going to hate it, but.
And is it Paramount that's doing it, I believe?
I have no idea.
I want to say it is, but I don't remember exactly. I don't have any of that information in front of me. But I know that the studio dropped Teenage Mutant from the title.
I know. I was going to say, Turtles. Like, I wasn't sure. I'd read that somewhere today, and it's just called Ninja Turtles.
Right. And Bay,
which I'm sure won't stir the flames at all.
No, Bay came. Well, here's the thing, though. Let me finish my thought here. Is that Bay came out and said, you know, basically Bay came out and was like, that's not me. That was the marketing. They decided it. I didn't drop it. Whatever, you know, because the fans are already up. Some of them are up in arms. I don't see them dropping the Teenage Mutant from the title as a big deal. As making them aliens is just kind of a big middle finger to the history of that line.
If they hadn't announced that they're, quote, aliens, then dropping that first part of the title would not. I mean, there would have been some bitching about it.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't have been like. It would have been gasoline on the fire. It would have been like, oh, that sucks. Yeah, it wouldn't be like, kill them all!
I mean, if you think about it, the last Turtles movie we got wasn't even called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It was just called TMNT. I mean, literally, that was the title of the movie. Yeah. Which, you know, dropping Teenage Mutant, calling it Ninja Turtles still makes people go, oh, I know what that is. TMNT, most people had no fucking idea. Like, the normal moviegoers had no idea what the hell that poster was for. They were like, what is that? What is that? You know? A lot of those people weren't geeks.
I don't remember the poster, but weren't the turtles on it?
I think there was a teaser poster that did not have them. You know, just one of those odd things that somebody in marketing was like, let's call it by the letters of the name. And it's like,
I'm sure at this point they don't want. I'm sure at this point there's concern about the association with the goofy 80s series. You know, there's always this concern that, you know, we don't want to be associated. It's like with Batman. Like, we don't want to be associated with the, I can't remember the guy's name. He's on Family Guy. Adam West.
We don't
want any association with that. We don't want to even acknowledge. We don't want to pretend that exists. You know, there's always a sense of, like, embarrassment about some of the sillier aspects of the past.
Yeah, but the thing is that you know, they've been mutants in every iteration of that.
I'm not saying...
I mean, look at the 89 movie. Golden Harvest, who was just a small Hong Kong production company, somehow managed to get the rights to this film and made an, you know, with the help of Jim Henson Studios and the Creature Shop, made an awesome, awesome Turtles movie that is still one of my favorite movies of this day, is that first movie. You know, they were mutants in that. It still benefited from that history.
Well, that came out like right at the height of that. What I'm saying is now we're like 20 years gone, and they want to bring in a younger audience that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they want that kind of smart ass. They want the audience that came to the first Transformers movie. They want that audience.
And that's fine.
That's going to have an attitude if it's too whimsical or stupid or goofy.
Right. Yeah, you know, I see that. It's just, you know, it's rather frustrating that it's like, you know, I'm trying to be positive, because there's so many people that have been completely negative, and I understand that, and I respect them for their opinions.
Yeah.
Me, you know, the Turtles are a great thing. I'm not going to say I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, but I will wait to pass complete judgment until I see a fucking trailer.
Yeah.
Until I see a movie, until I see a theatrical trailer, then I will pass my judgment on whether bullshit or not. I mean, it literally just... Bay running his mouth means nothing to me, because Bay has run his mouth for years about the Transformer franchise and has steered fans in so many different directions over bullshit that, you know, it's like we're watching an M. Night movie starring Michael Bay. It's like, where's the twist? Here's the twist. The twist is over here. No, it's over here. So I'll wait to pass my judgment until I see a trailer, probably next fall, this fall, or
yeah, they're
spring.
Not even filming for like a year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
it's something ridiculous.
So we went to see Hunger Games Friday night.
Yeah, it's interesting because now we're going to take the other side of the coin, I think.
Yes, very much so.
So yes, we did go see Hunger Games.
Yes,
and you had read the books and really enjoyed them.
Yes, I had read the books,
and apparently everyone I know has read the books and really enjoyed them, and I'm like the only person who hasn't.
Yes.
So
yeah, I had read all the books.
Yeah. And I hadn't.
You hadn't. You had no idea. And I was like, hey, Hunger Games is opening Friday. Let's go. And you were like, yeah, all right.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, but you have to understand, this is like literally like one of those... I know everyone makes fun of me for being old, but this is one of those like scary harbingers of the fact that you're old. Because this thing like blindsided me utterly.
Yeah.
Like Entertainment Weekly ran, you know, Katniss in her costume from Hunger Games. I'm like, what?
First pictures of Jennifer Lawrence as Katniss Everdeen, and everyone's
like,
"Woo!"
I'm like, "What? Who? What? The what?"
Yeah.
And I mean, I got that it was a big thing, but it's like I'd never heard of it ever.
Yeah.
And it's like it's a chick in a tracksuit. Oh my god.
Yeah. Well, I hadn't read them till just this last winter, like just a couple months ago, was when I was like, I think it was November. We went to go see my sister and brother-in-law, and you know, Carrie's nephews, her oldest nephew, had the first book, and he's read all three, and I was in there talking to them, and I happened to look on his bookshelf. I'm like, oh, I'm like, you've got the Hunger Games. He's like, yeah. I'm like, is it good? And he's like, oh, it's great. You know, he's 13.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's a tween, so I was like, is it good? And he's like, yeah, you know, smart kid. And I was like, all right. I was like, let me borrow it, and let me read it. And he's like, okay. So I borrowed it and devoured the first book, and was like, oh my god. I'm like, you know, these... You know, it was the same effect I had with, you know, people are going to give me shit for this. But same effect when I had when I read the Twilight books, right before that movie came out, that first summer at San Diego on the way back, I was like, I got to see what the fuck this movie's all about. Because Comic-Con was ridiculous.
I remember I was in the line next to the Stephanie Meyer's line.
Yeah. So I was like, Jesus, you know, I want to find out what the big deal is about this series. So I bought the first book in the airport and read it on the way home, and had finished it by the time we landed. I was like, holy shit, you know, this is actually a really decent take, you know, fictionally on, you know, on this whole concept. Same with Harry Potter. When I first got into Harry Potter, I was like, the fuck is the big deal?
Harry Potter, like, the film was finally coming out. The fourth book had come out.
Right.
And I remember the hype about the fourth book coming out. And then the film was coming out, and I saw a trailer for it. And Alan Rickman as Snape.
Yeah.
And he has, like, one little bit in, like, the trailer where he's like, you know, Harry Potter, our new celebrity. And I'm like,
yes.
Okay, now I'm interested. And I went to Sam's Club, and I picked up the first book, and, like, boom! Had to go to Sam's Club the next day to pick up the next three books.
Yeah, I had picked up the first three books in a row because the third book had just came out. And I was like, oh, you know, starting to really pick up steam. And I was like, okay. I was like, you know.
Yeah.
I want to read these. So I bought the first two were in paperback. The third one just came out of hardback. And I read all three of them and was like, oh, oh my God. And then, you know, every release since then, I had gone at midnight, got the book, and stayed up and read it. The Hunger Games was kind of the same thing, where I went, you know, borrowed the book, went to the library, got the other two books, devoured them, and was just like, oh, I can't wait for this fucking movie, because this series is awesome. But we talked about, after seeing that film, and I know we're delving off toys a little bit, but I want to get this out in the open, because we had talked about the strange juxtaposition from people who had read the books and really enjoyed the books, and you had this large geekdom base of
there
people.
Was a weird backlash on Facebook, and everyone was like, oh, it's Battle Royale, it's Battle Royale. I just saw a thing today, like one of those little pictures, or the memes.
Yes.
Pulp Fiction, and it was, you know, I keep wanting to say Vinnie Barbarino. It was Travolta, and it was Samuel L. Jackson when they're driving around.
Yes.
It's like, you hear about that Hunger Games? You know what they call that in France? Battle Royale with cheese.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, congratulations, nerddom.
You've
heard of Battle Royale.
Yeah.
You may have even seen Battle Royale. A film that never opened in theaters in America.
And it's still never come
out
on DVD.
And it's still not yet out on DVD.
No.
Good for you.
Yeah. You know, I heard about Battle Royale, you know, what, it's been out 10 years?
It's been a long, long time.
It's been out
time.
For like
yeah.
over a decade. And I remember hearing about it when it first came out because it came from a manga. It came from a comic series. And I remember reading the comic.
It came from a book book.
It came from a book book that they made into a manga. But I remember reading the manga and going, yeah, this is kind of neat. But you take the two concepts and look at them and it's like, okay, one is a dystopian future, and the other one is literally modern days where they throw these high schoolers into this battle arena. I'm like, I can see the similarities between the concepts, but...
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is kind of the same idea with...
Well, yeah, and here's one for you old-timers. The Most Dangerous Game. Filmed in the 1920s.
Yes.
Ripped off by Battle Royale! Your beloved Battle Royale!
Yes. I just...
And there was an episode of The Hulk.
Yes.
Same thing.
Sometimes it just makes me frustrated to be a geek because it's very hard to be a geek and like I've said before on the show, and we were talked about Transformers last week and all that, is that I'm a big popcorn movie guy. If I go and I'm entertained, you know, people bitch about how Bay, you know, raped our childhoods with Transformers, and it's debatable.
Jeez.
It's whatever.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, they made money.
It's walking funny.
They made the studios a lot of money. Hasbro made a ton of money off the toys. Transformer fans went and saw it. They bought the toys. I enjoyed my popcorn. You know,
the first one was actually, I think, a pretty solid movie.
Yeah. If I go to Turtles, and even, you know, I don't think Michael Bay is raping our childhood as much as George Lucas has raped his own legacy in our childhoods.
Well.
I mean, with
did you ever see
Indiana
the thing
Jones?
I did on Facebook on that?
Yes.
It's a picture of Michael Bay, and it's Michael Bay, because George Lucas can't ruin our childhood all by himself.
Yes. You know, I just think it's, if I can go to the Turtle movie, and it's a decent, if I can enjoy my popcorn, that's how I rate a movie. I don't go looking for Oscar winning performances or any of that shit. This new G.I. Joe, you know, the first G.I. Joe movie, I enjoyed my popcorn, but it's not a great film.
You know, I've always maintained that it would be a better film if it wasn't G.I. Joe.
Yes.
That's all I have to say. I enjoyed it, but as a G.I. Joe fan, I couldn't let go of what they got wrong.
Right. And then this, you know, this movie come up, the more and more and more and more I see of it, I'm like, oh. Yeah,
it looks like they got it a little more
fuck,
right.
Fuck, they've got it more, you know, they've done better this time around. So that's engaging. But see how the Hunger Games talk took us back to the Turtles? See how that works?
G.I. Joe, that's a toy.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just weird because you think that if anybody was into just trying new things and expanding your mind, it would be nerds, it would be geeks, it would be, you know.
Yes.
It's just this weird closed-minded thing that's sort of cliquish. You know, we've seen Battle Royale, so anything where kids kill other kids is just a rip-off of Battle Royale. It's
yes.
Like, I posted on because a friend of ours, Mysterio Maximus, was having a thread on Facebook where he was really ripping into Hunger Games for being Battle Royale, and I said, you know, have you heard about that movie that's basically Kurosawa's Hidden Fortress, but it's got like this Flash Gordon aesthetic to it, and there's even some World War II aerial combat footage thrown in.
Yeah.
Because that's what Star Wars is. Star Wars is Hidden Fortress.
Yeah.
The droids are the two bureaucrats.
Yeah, literally.
I mean, it's the same movie. Newsflash, there are like, if you're a literature nerd, you know there are basically seven plots.
Yeah.
in all of literature, and yeah. everything's just recycling from there. I mean, there are no new ideas under the sun.
There will never be new ideas. There's not going to be. I mean, there's some. There are original ideas, but they always. They're never completely new.
Well, I mean, Harry Potter was, you know, the chosen one. The blah blah blah. Yeah. And there's some. But what makes these things enjoyable is the take on it. Is that new?
The characterization.
It's not that it's original. It's just that the way that they. Maybe the way that they toss the ingredients together. It's like cooking. It's like you take different ingredients and put them together. You know, it's not that you're reinventing a new animal to eat. It's that you're cooking chicken, you know, with different spices that you haven't used before.
I mean, you know, it's just the same with all these remakes happening now. And now there were... I don't know.
Like, Total Recall had its trailer premiere.
Yeah, well,
now they're talking about how RoboCop's going to be more human.
It had the teaser. What? It had a teaser trailer for the premiere of the teaser trailer. That's what Total Recall was.
Oh, well. It looks like garbage.
And then the writers of Harold and Kumar and whatever else they wrote recently, I can't remember, were just made an off the cuff comment about how they would love as fans to redo Back to the Future, and that's sent people in a fucking tizzy this morning. And understandably so. I mean, there are certain films I will look at as a fan and go, I don't think you should touch that. RoboCop is one of them. I don't think they should. I think Paul Verhoeven.
But he's going to be more human this time. You can see his eyes.
You know, I just
because
I
the whole point was that he should be more human.
I'm sorry.
I'm holding my head in my hands because it's like missed the whole point of the movie. Did we?
Yeah. Total Recall. I wouldn't mind seeing another take on with an actor that's not Arnold. I mean, people are probably going to give me shit
for that.
That's
going to be so weird because it's like it doesn't include Mars. And I'm like,
yeah.
How can you make Total Recall and not have the entire plot of the movie?
Yeah, that's a good question.
It's like, why even call it that?
But yeah, the Back to the Future thing really, really pissed off a
lot
of people.
That's weird.
But it was just an off-the-cuff comment that's never going to happen, probably.
Everything about that is so specific to a time and place.
I think...
It's the 80s, it's the DeLorean,
yes.
And then to go back to the 50s, and it's so specific.
Yes.
You know, I don't know how you either remake it as a period piece in the 80s,
yeah,
or I don't know how you do that.
Well, and we were discussing how, you know, with Suzanne Collins' books becoming films, they're getting ready to shoot the second one to be out next year.
Yeah.
How... Because
the first one made a bazillion,
$1
billion.
We were talking about how, you know... Platinum Dune? No, whoever is that actually produces the Twilight movies has been, like, poking Stephanie Meyer to write another book because they're just, like, dollar signs in their eyes. They're like,
well, we're
talking
about how Warner Brothers was bugging
Warner Brothers. Yeah, but they've been bugging her for a long time to write another book because they knew their movies were running out. They've just basically been able to print money with this series, and they're like, you've got to write another book. And it's like, that book... the Twilight books could probably go on, but Harry Potter wrapped up.
Harry Potter was... No, please... Don't.
And The Hunger Games has a finale. It has everything comes to a head and it wraps itself up nice and neatly for the most part. I mean, there's nothing more you could really do with that story. I mean, that's the story. And I'm sure it's going to happen with Hunger Games that they're going to try to get her to write another. Because
oh, sure.
You can't, with this first movie making as much money as it has, the other two are just going to fucking kill. Hopefully the next two movies we get better figures. Sorry, no offense. No offense, NECA. I love your stuff, but really, figures with no articulation of the legs, that's pretty shitty. And I saw, just the other day, at Walgreens, when I went to pick up my medicine, I always go down the toy aisles to see what they have. And down the toy aisle, they've got like two sections. They've got one side of the toy aisle that's regular, and then the other side is kind of like seasonal. On that side, they happen to have a little box with the Hunger Games logo on it. I'm like, well, that's interesting. And I pull it out, and they're blind bag little figures on stands.
Oh, neat.
And I think that said, like, there's 18 of them or 12 of them or something like that.
Geez.
But they're from NECA. And I looked at them, and I'm like, oh. Like, just the tiny figures and the sculpts and the paint jobs in the pictures. I was like, oh, this is fucking horrible. I'm like, I don't even want to bother with these.
Well, I can see where that would be a tricky toy line, especially in the modern political climate, to make toys for.
Fuck that. Make the toys.
Here's a toy about a movie where children get murdered. No.
Eh.
There's a reason that NECA, the collector-oriented company, got that license. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Honestly,
Mattel and Hasbro are not going to touch that.
Think about it, though. It's a PG-13 film. Barely. There is bloodshed.
They had to cut stuff for the British version.
They had to cut stuff for the British third to make a PG, their version of PG-13. But the fact, if you think that somebody like Hasbro and Mattel would have got that license and actually made playsets and shit, dude, I know there are more tweens. There are a lot of people
protesting the movie.
There are people bitching
about the movie. Can you imagine if they... I remember when they did toys for Batman Returns.
Right.
People were like, oh my god, she's a dominatrix and they're making toys!
People, please. You know,
it's so dark and gothic.
Between people that are boycotting movies for that kind of shit, it reminds me of, like, the Westboro Baptist people.
Oh, I know.
It's like, you dumb bastards.
Oh, I know.
You know,
I'm not saying it's smart. I'm just saying that from Hasbro and Mattel's point of view, it's like, yeah, you know, we'll get right on that after we do the Battle Royale, blow the child head off. You know, yes. Barbie, the little Japanese Barbie whose head blows up. Yeah, we'll get right on that.
Oh, hell. You gotta love it, though.
Spoiler alert for Battle Royale there. Yes. Although apparently all of you have seen it and love it. I really want to know how many of you people freaking out have actually even seen...
I've never seen it.
Battle Royale.
I know it exists. I've never seen it.
I have a crappy bootleg copy on VHS.
Yeah, I mean, there's been bootlegs for decades. Yeah. I've never seen it. Like I said, I've read the manga. I don't even think they ever translated the actual book.
Yeah. So it's just like, you know, calm down.
But, I mean, that's our group of geekdom people being geeks.
It's like, yeah, we're so cool. We don't have to see the hip new thing because we've seen the thing it's based on. I get the mentality, and I'm sure I've done that in the past. What was it?
Yes.
Was it The Matrix or was it Fifth Element? I think it was The Matrix. I had a little bit of an attitude about because I was like, yeah, I really enjoyed all the films that this movie is based on, that this movie is taken from. Yes. You know? So, I mean, I've done it in the past, but...
Yeah, but...
Like, I'm over it now. I realize that I was a younger man and a fool. Well, I mean, I was younger. I was like, that was a fucking decade ago.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, hell. Good times. Let's move on to some fan questions.
Hit it, Johnny!
Alright. First one comes from Mr. Chris Vant on Twitter.
Hey!
He says, hey guys, the last episode was terrific. Hopefully you think the same about this, because we kind of strayed from Toy Talk a little bit because we geeked out about some movies. But I love you guys.
This is one of the dynamic tension between Duvall and I. I think it's okay.
Yeah.
I think it's okay to go down paths because it's first of all, it's geek related.
Yeah.
And second of all, there are NECA toys.
Yeah,
You know, calm down. It's okay.
Yeah. He says, I'd like to know what toy line you would love to discontinue. Bandai Thundercats.
Oh, Chris, why are you setting me up like
that? I'll just fucking throw that out into the ether. Although that line's pretty much dead anyway, but still, it should be bye-bye.
Why are you setting me up? Why? Why you do that? Honestly, you know, it's not like I think there's any toy line that's choking off some other toy line, you know.
No.
I think you go up there, you make your point, and you... you know what I'm going to say? And this is going to surprise everyone listening.
What?
Star Wars.
Really?
Call it a day. I would be happy as a clam if they said, we're done.
Yeah.
Or, you know what, the other thing I've been waiting for, and unfortunately because of the price of oil, it's not going to happen. It might have happened about 5 or 6 years ago, is change the scale.
Oh,
make it a bigger scale. Because, you know, they were doing that with Joe. They did Sigma 6.
Yeah.
If they changed the scale and started over, I'd be like, boom, done.
Yeah.
Finished. Walk away.
Yeah.
Walk away in slow-mo as it explodes behind me.
Yeah.
Like, I would be happy as a clam at this point. Well, I gotta get that one Ewok set.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they always get me.
I know.
Every time I think I'm out, they pull
you
back
right back
in.
The fuck in.
But yeah, Star Wars would be one I could, even with that Ewok set, even though it has one of the figures I really want, if they finished Star Wars off, I would not be unhappy. Like, I would be very happy because I had gone through it, I had done it, and I had completed it. You know, we were talking earlier about, like, you know, Rowling and Myers and Collins being bugged to do more.
Right.
What makes a great story, what makes a great tale, what makes a great adventure is that it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And a satisfying end is very hard to do, but it's what makes a great story a great story.
I agree. Like I said, start out, Bandai Thundercats needs to go bye-bye. I mean, that whole line, it's been mishandled, it's been misrepresented, it's just the toys that are out are garbage.
From hell's heart, he stabs at
thee. And that sucks, too, because, you know, I've been doing all these reviews for,
yeah, I know,
for Thundercat's Lair. I have no love for this new line.
I've noticed.
It's just so...
I've picked up on it.
It's so hard for me to do reviews for this line. It's just like, I made a commitment. I told him I'd do these reviews, but you get the stuff in the mail and you look at it and go, oh, God, I don't want to fucking do this review. These figures are horrible. You know, it's like, I don't even waste my time on them. But hopefully, you know, hopefully Bandai realized it too. And they're like, maybe we should stop. Yeah. Nobody cares. So,
I mean, I'm sorry, but this is exactly the toy line that I knew it would be. The minute they announced Bandai, I'm like, it's going to look like the TV show. I mean, I was surprised that we got the Classics line. I think that was, but it's going to look like a TV show. It's going to look like Ben 10 toys, which is what they are. They're Ben 10 toys for Thundercats.
Yeah, pretty much. So that's that.
So that's
that was the only Twitter. Everybody else posted on the boards today.
Yeah, we had a bunch on the boards.
Yeah. MLacy91, our good buddy Mike Lacy, says, hey guys, first a little background about myself. I work in retail. I'm a dairy manager for a supermarket. I'm responsible for all aspects of that department, the ordering, the pack-out, maintenance, the people, and 100% of all the financial results of that department that averages $120,000 per week. That being said, it boggles my mind that I can go into a store, i.e. Target, Walmart, Toys R Us, etc., several days a week, over several weeks, and find the same pegs and sections of shelving blown out. It's like no product is being ordered to fill the holes. This is where Duvall can chime in. Having worked as a manager for Toys R Us, does the department manager not have the control of the ordering, even if the store is a CGO, which is a computer-generated ordering type system? A new case should be ordered once a certain number of the same SKU is rung through the front end. In my line of work, if my aisle consistently looked like Swiss cheese and I was not ordering product to fill the holes, I would find myself unemployed very quickly. Here's the problem.
See, I'm going to chime in on this too, because I've actually talked to people about this.
Yes,
so.
Here's the problem. All my years of working in retail, their ordering process, especially if it's not grocery product, like I work for Meijer, which is a grocery chain here in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for Meijer for almost 6 years. And so the same kind of thing. I never worked in toys. I worked in other, like home decor and all that. Same kind of idea is that it is all computer-generated ordering type of thing that once a certain amount of pieces are scanned through the register, it's supposed to automatically order a new supply of said item. Doesn't always work that way. Actually, it never fucking works
ooh,
that
ooh,
way.
Ooh,
yes.
Ooh, ooh.
Yes,
Mr. Kater.
Yes. Yes, Rorschach.
Here's how it works. Because I had a friend who was a department manager at Walmart.
Right.
The thing is, for most items, like milk, what they do, well, I mean, for all items, but the way they design the system is it's based on an average. In fact, he even mentions it's based on an average. He talks about the average sales.
Right.
It's based on an average. I don't remember if it's daily or weekly, but it averages the sales.
Right.
So it says, you know, like if you sell 5 things of milk one day and 6 things of milk the next day and, you know, it takes the average.
Right.
It says, okay, well, we're moving 5 units of milk a day, so we need this much milk on the next truck.
Correct.
Right? The problem is, with stuff like our toys, that comes in and it sells out day one. Boom.
Yeah, exactly.
Case of 12 Star Wars figures.
It's gone.
Dave goes home with probably 10. Someone else comes in and gets the other 2.
Right.
It's gone. Day one, 12 sales. Day two, zero sales. Average, 6 sales.
Right.
Day three, 0 sales.
Right.
Day four, 0 sales. Because these places only get like 1 truck a week.
Right.
So by the time that the system gets into it, it's been like cut down to, well, we're averaging 1 Star Wars figure a week.
Right.
Which is not accurate. He could order it. I mean, he could put in manual orders, but what happened was, at least at our Walmart, the actual Uber manager would go, yeah, but we're only averaging 1 per week.
Right.
And cut the sales out of the system.
Right. Here's the difference between that. I mean, every company does it differently. And Toys R Us's is this way. Is that Toys R Us is a computer-generated system, same type of thing, not average. It actually does it by piece count.
Okay.
So there's supposed to be a certain amount of pieces on the shelf or on a peg at any given time. And if that piece gets below a certain quantity of its shelf count, then the system will automatically order a new case of the product. Only problem is that if you are not a $1 million-a-year store, you're not getting shit. Our Toys R Us is not, and has not been for a long time, $1 million-a-year store. That store has been very close.
I do what I can.
Well, and it's been in the black every year, and I know this because, you know, like I said, I worked there for 13 years. Every year I worked there, that store was in the black, which is great for a retail business. It means they're not losing any money, and they're not really profiting. That is why, like, our Toys R Us and a lot of Toys R Us's don't get a lot of merchandise. They just don't. The system will automatically order. Just in the last few years, probably in the last 5 years, they've had a position they've created that basically goes around and they do cycle counts every morning. They do a different section of the store every day, and it just rotates through the week. And they basically scan the holes. They see what's on order. They see what's in the warehouse. They order it if it's needed because they don't want to have empty pegs or empty shelves. They put a sticker on it. They write the date on it. If the product hasn't come in beyond that date over a certain time, they reorder the product.
Like, I think they just do that at Target, too, because yeah. if you notice at Target, sometimes they have little gray stickers on some of the price tags for the empty ones.
But yeah, Mike, that's the shitty thing is that there's never been an accurate way to do this over, you know, all of these years of doing this computer-based ordering. No one has ever made a perfect system, and it's never going to happen. So all of these Toys R Us's, unless you're in New York or California or, you know, I don't know what other stores are million-dollar stores. If you're not in one of those major markets, your Toys R Us's, like ours gets shit 2 or 3 weeks later. We might sell out of the case. It'll be weeks, sometimes months, before we see another case of this stuff, unless it's something hugely popular and they're trying to get it out to all the Toys R Us.
Even then, man, it took us forever to get like a decent amount of Skylanders.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's shitty, but that's, you know, them's the breaks in retail. And
pretty much. And I think it's probably worse at this point because of the economic situation where nobody wants to buy a bunch of stuff and have it sitting around.
Right.
When, you know, there's no, everybody's being real tight with their money.
Right.
So.
Horatio, who actually is a newbie on the boards. Welcome, Horatio. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Yeah, welcome.
I would give you a hug if I could.
We're having an interesting conversation in the Look What I Found thread.
Might be a little weird. Are you really?
Yeah, he's doing like, remember those Golden Compass figures?
Oh, yes.
He's trying to like, he's using the Daniel Craig egg to make a James Bond.
Oh, cool.
And Oz, like I suggested using the body for face from A-Team.
Hmm.
And Oz was like, damn you, I was just about to post this picture. And it's so cool looking.
Really?
Oh, I'm like, man, I need a face and I need a whatever the guy That's is awesome. From Golden Compass because it looks super freaking sweet.
That's awesome. So. That's cool. Way to go, Horatio.
Yeah.
He asks, are there... Oh, back to my hug. I'd give you a hug, but it might be a long, weird hug, and that just might disturb everyone.
And he's diseased right now.
I am diseased right now. It's horrible. yes, are there any toy lines which crashed and burned in a wave or two which you wished had continued? Lines that were ignored by kids and derided by collectors. Personally, I'm okay with the most recent Playmate Star Trek figures. I really like the McFarlane 4-inch Prince of Persia figures, and I love the Popco Golden Compass figures.
Yeah.
If you could see where we're sitting at the toy bar, the majority of the line that I wish had continued is sitting behind my head. Dave, would you tell them what that line is?
Alvin and the Chipmunks?
I hate you. You're such a jackass.
Brave Star.
Thank you. Brave Star was one of those lines that lasted a series. Wave 2 was planned, shown at Toy Fair. Nobody ordered it. Kids didn't buy it. Everybody canceled it. Clearance it out. They canceled the line. I kind of agree with you on the recent Playmate Star Trek figures because the waves 3 and 4, I think, that they were coming out with that were going to complete the
whatever the next wave was had a bunch of really cool figures.
Had a bunch of cool figures in it, and you know that whole line was,
and that must have burned real bad because I remember for a brief period of time it was going to be like an online exclusive.
Yes,
and then that didn't even happen.
No, I don't know. There's, you know, all the lines that I collect, the Aerator stuff, the Sky Commanders. All of that odds and ends stuff, just, you know, Captain Power, you know, there was just so much of it that I loved that just that didn't last.
Centaurs. You know, I'm almost in the reverse situation where I'm glad that these things didn't really last longer than they did. I mean, that's what I look for
right.
in a vintage toy line right now. It's something that I'm not going to be, like, beholden to.
Inhumanoids is a good example.
Yeah, Inhumanoids is a good example. Although, if any line were to continue, that would probably be the one, because I really would have liked the big snake dude that was like the Uber boss. That would have been a cool figure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I like that these things have an end point, as opposed to, like, Star Wars or G.I. Joe or He-Man that have hundreds and hundreds of figures and vehicles and playsets. And, you know, it's like, you know, that's an investment.
Yeah.
To try to go after those. Whereas with Inhumanoids or, like, Dune or Dungeons and Dragons, the problem is, like, the first wave stuff, cheap.
Yeah.
Second wave stuff,
decently.
No, crazy. There are two
really?
Waves. Wave 1, cheap. Wave 2, uber expensive.
I think you've got pretty much all the wave 2, don't you?
I got a lot of them. I'm 4 away
yeah.
from completing that.
So yeah, I mean, there's I don't know, man. There's Horatio. There's just like certain lines that had they continued, like I would have loved to have seen more Manglores, but that was a line that was pretty much destined to fail from the beginning anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Would have been nice to see more Voltron stuff had that line continued. Like the actual figures, the 3¾-inch figures. Not that they could have made more beyond what they made, but it would have been nice to see what they had planned.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, Brave Star, though, is my major one, though. I keep seeing, you know, I've seen pictures of that whole second wave, and it's like, oh, those would have been such cool-looking figures.
Oh, well, I mean, at this point, I've mentioned this so many times before, but I would have loved the second wave of Skeletal Warriors.
Yes, for the
Bone Dragon.
Bone Dragon.
More gore of the Bone Dragon. Wanted that so much.
Well, we would have got the main chick.
Bone Dragon.
No, Bone Dragon would have been cool too. Yeah. Bowspear asks, what are your thoughts on the new Fall of Cybertron line? Has Hasbro made the right decision in giving the game its own toy line, or should it have been like War of Cybertron, where there are a few figures thrown in amongst the current Classics 2.0 or Universe Reveal the Shield or whatever they're calling it now? It's Hasbro, it's Transformers. They're going to try to milk every penny they have.
Yeah, I mean, I guess by giving it its own line, they're sort of acknowledging that they should have done that the last time around, probably.
Yeah, because I think more people wanted more of the War of Cybertron
War for Cybertron toys and the other stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what everybody was, like, people would ask me for.
Yeah, I mean, the classic stuff kind of hung peg warmer style for a while, and the war stuff, at least around here, was gone in an instant. So that stuff always took off real quick. I don't know. Let's see how it does.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to judge it right now.
I mean, especially since they don't have a movie. There's no movie.
Well, there's a game.
There's a game. There's, you know, the animated series right now that they're doing figures for. So we'll see what it does. But I have no qualms against it, really.
I don't think it's a bad idea, but, you know, it's one of those things it's easier to come up with the answer in hindsight. Ask us when it's been a big hit or it's been a big flop, and we'll tell you exactly whether or not they should have done it.
Yes. Very much so.
Pretty much.
Brandon G., who's another newbie. Welcome, Brandon. Welcome. 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 Another long, disturbing hug for you. Very scary, isn't it?
Spreading your germs.
I know. Dave's been hugged by me. It's frightening.
That's true.
He says, David Duvall, have your feelings about condition and completeness changed over the years? He says, when I was younger, I'd be bummed if I found a vintage piece I was looking for and it wasn't complete and perfect. Now that I'm a little older, I'm just as excited to find anything I'm after, as long as I can get it for a reasonable price anyway. Have you become more or less concerned about it as you've gotten older? I think it's a mixed bag, really. I'll find pieces that aren't complete that I'll go, oh, I wonder if I can find the pieces for that. And I'll buy it because it's a decent price. And Dave's a good example because he bought a Defiant for a decent price.
I was going to say, I am more concerned about condition and completeness than I used to be. And I would say that 80% of that is the freaking Defiant.
Yeah.
Because I spent a fortune
trying to piece it together.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things, like, I would just rather pay more and get it complete than, you know, seemingly get a deal and chase it around and...
Right, and then come to find out that there's half of the shit's not there anyway.
Yeah,
so.
Like, you need some obscure missile that's never going to come up on eBay. I mean...
Right. It's a lot of ridiculous shit. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in both camps with that. I'm just kind of, you know...
And I think it depends on the item. If it's one of those things, like, you're never going to see it again, period.
Yeah.
You might just go, okay, I'll get it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I concur. I mean, a lot of the stuff I've been buying now has been pretty much complete or in box. Like all this aerator stuff that is going to get opened and played with. Like, I'm going to put it together, put stickers on it. Because, you know, I'm going to do a video series on it. And I kind of want to do it just because I love this line and always wanted to do it. So, I'm sure people are going to be like, oh my God, you're going to open them. Fuck yeah, I'm going to open them. They're going to go on a shelf, goddammit.
Yeah, why not?
I don't want to just leave them in the box. I'm more of an out-of-box person than a mint-in-box person.
I am too.
But yeah, I mean, if I go to a toy show and I find, like, I found the... Oh, what is that Voltron vehicle with the skull in front of it?
Skull tank.
Skull tank. I found a skull tank at a toy show, missing its canopy. Found a skull. I bought a skull tank for $2. I could care less if it's got its canopy. I mean, it'd be cool to have, but eh.
Well, yeah, $2. That's, you don't even get picky about condition.
Yeah, exactly. So, eh. Jansen asks, what up, D&D? I was wondering if you guys remembered Intertech, the motorized water guns from LJN. Anyone still have any or ever seen them in their travels? I haven't seen one in over 20 years. You remember those?
I think I had the shotgun.
Yes.
I think the shotgun wasn't motorized, though, was it? It was like you pump it up.
Yeah, you pump it up. I remember the other ones, though. You squeeze the trigger.
Yeah, no, I remember most of them were motorized, but I think the shotgun was manual pump.
I remember that was the sound it made, too. Because the water pump would go.
Because I have some other ones, but I don't know if they're Intertech. They're like they're more brightly colored, and they don't look like real guns.
Yeah,
but they're motorized too, and they do that. Meow.
I remember the Intertech stuff. I did
have the shotgun.
Yeah, the Intertech stuff was really popular for a little while.
And we would make movies, and like we would fill it up with like red Kool-Aid.
Right.
And you shoot the guy, bam.
Right. I don't know. I haven't seen any in our travels. We don't see a lot of.
I don't look for water guns though. But yeah.
Super soakers are not that highly collectible. Nerf guns are a big thing right now because I don't know if they're very collectible, but I know one of my nephews has just a shit ton of Nerf, and he carries them around. His grandfather gave him like a gunny. I guess are they gunny sacks? Is that what the army bags are called?
Yeah,
yeah. He gave him this.
There is an army bag called a gunny sack. So.
Well, he gave him the big bag that he can carry all his guns in, and he'll carry them to a friend's, and they'll go outside in the spring and summer and have Nerf wars, and they'll just shoot the piss out of one another.
Yeah.
But the Intertech stuff, I don't know if there's a big collector's market for it. A lot of the old Super Soaker guns are pretty pricey nowadays.
I also wonder, because I know that a lot of shows, they don't like having guns there.
Right.
Like realistic looking toy guns.
Right, exactly.
So.
If I ever see any, though, I'll be sure we'll talk about it on the show, because I remember them very fondly, and if I found one, I'd probably buy one, because I'm like, ooh, neat. And then I'd probably take it apart and try to fix it if it didn't work.
Hmm.
That's what I do now, apparently.
Yeah, that is your thing.
That's my thing. I enjoy it. It's fun.
Good. Cool. Honestly, I think that's great. I think I'm amazed that you can fix those Teddy Ruxpins.
Really?
I'm like this late winter, early spring when we had the winds, like a piece of my siding was coming off. And it's basically like glorified Lego, but like I managed to snap it back into place and like, for like 5 minutes, I was like, I'm a man. I have done man's work. I have repaired around the house. That's about the extent of my, like, useful skills.
The sad thing is, though, I was playing with my Big Bird. I showed it to somebody who came over last week and went to turn him on, and my Big Bird's not, like, the mouth isn't working right now, so I'm gonna have to pop the seam on the back again and pull the skin off the front and fucking mess with the belts and see what's wrong with him in there, because it's just not like he's not working like he should. I'm like, oh, this sucks.
That's the downside of those things. They probably break down all the freaking time.
But now that I like popping the seams and pulling them apart ain't that bad. It's not a huge ordeal to do it, because to sew them back up takes like 5 minutes. So, it's not something that I'm like, oh god, I gotta do this again.
Hmm.
Just one of those things where it's like, yeah, I gotta pop the seam again and take the box cutter, pop the seam. I got plenty of thread, buddy.
Right.
Thread's cheap. So, TMC 1984 says, just a quick one for me this week. Would you guys give up your jobs? Dave didn't have a job.
So right there, we're looking at yes.
Yes. Would you guys give up your jobs to work in the toy industry? No-brainer, a tough call. Loving the show. Thank you, sir. I don't know if I'd want to work in the toy industry. It literally is a very cutthroat,
it's a job.
Stressful.
It's a real job. Like, it's not, something out of Phineas and Ferb with elves and, happy, jaunty
this,
music.
This coming from a man who hasn't had a job in...
No, but I mean, I've read about it.
I haven't worked a job. I've read about them.
You were about to make the same point, which I find
actually,
amusing.
No. I was going
to
say...
Oh, you think it's all lollipops and sunshine.
No. I know
it's like in Big, where you go play on the giant piano all day.
Because, trust me, I have an office job now where I put my headphones on, I work on my computer, I keep to myself, I don't make any enemies, and I don't bother anyone. So it's a very, very cut and dry. I go to work, I do my shit, I come home, I'm done. Retail, it was kind of the same thing as the toy industry. It's very cutthroat, man. There were always people...
And by the way, I have worked retail.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons that I probably haven't had a job.
So. Yeah, I mean, there were people literally breathing down my neck, wanting my position for no reason other than, fuck that guy, I can do that job better. And it was like, shit, dude, but the toy industry is pretty bad. I mean, look at Hasbro. They just laid off, 400-some people?
Something like that.
About 3 weeks ago. And one of, somebody I know very closely, David Bonner, was laid off. And that, we talked about that last week, I think, a little bit. And that really sucks. And that just goes to show, here's somebody who was very successful in his job, was leading a very successful part of the brand Marvel for Hasbro, and then they were just like, hit the roads, motherfucker. It's like, Jesus Christ, you're never safe. It's not a job, you know, where you can just be like, oh, I'm safe, you know, I'll have a job tomorrow.
Oh, but it's a very, you know, toys are a very trendy, they're not a very stable kind of commodity.
No.
It's very trend. I mean, you know, right now we were just talking about Skylander, Monster High, Monster High, Monster High.
Yeah.
I mean, Transformers and Star Wars, you know, are kind of evergreen. They'll always be around.
Right.
Even G.I. Joe is dicey these days. I mean, you know, I mean, they've put out G.I. Joe and gone, hey, it's G.I. Joe! And people have gone, eh.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, any toy line, except from, like, maybe Lego, is a crapshoot.
Right.
And you don't know if it's going to hit or if it's going to bomb. And if it bombs, you've spent all this money and you're screwed.
Right.
And what kids want, I mean, one year they wanted mechanical hamsters. Now they want little guys you plug into your computer. And
yes.
It's very, very hard.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's a shifting target, and it's not just. I always described it like, and I would run it into the ground anyway, because I always described it like the episode where Homer gets to design a car.
Yes.
You know, and it's this nightmare, ridiculous, overpriced monstrosity. I mean, you know, my toy line would have too much articulation, too many accessories, too many paint apps, and it would have all the obscure characters that Hasbro would never touch.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then you'd go into the store, and they'd be like, hey, look, it's Tommy Lee Jones from Captain America, and they've got 500 of him!
Yes.
Smooth move, Dave.
Yeah.
I'd be like, but I got my Tommy Lee Jones figure.
Exactly.
What do I care?
I don't know, man. It's one of those situations where I don't think I see what happens with companies like Jazzware, who has, you know, Mortal Kombat license and Street Fighter and all these great licenses, and here's a company who just does not give a shit about what they're putting out and putting out utter garbage.
Yeah.
And I've heard horror stories about people working for them who have been like, hey, you know, this stuff's crap. We really should try to do something better. And the upper management's just like, nah, whatever, some people will buy it. We don't care. It's like, what the f- no!
Hmm.
I couldn't do it. I could not work for the toy industry in that capacity. You know, I worked for the toy industry in the website business. I was getting paid to do what I was doing for a long time. You know, and I don't even know these days if I'd want to work in that part of this, which is why we don't cover news. I don't want to deal with all that. You know, it's like, it's great, you know, it gives you connection to these companies, but you know, we want to stand on our own merits for our reviews and our original content, not for, you know, sucking up to the company because we're printing their news and giving them good press and all that shit. I don't care about any of that, but working in the toy industry? Fuck that.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, I can paint. I could be a painter, I guess. You know, I give props to, especially guys like fucking the Four Horsemen, who are, you know, are freelancers. They sculpt for everybody, and that's probably the safest job to have as a freelancer, as a sculptor, which is what most of the toy industry is these days. A lot of these toys being designed now are being designed by freelance designers outside the company, and the people inside the company are just basically running the show day to day. And I could probably work as a freelancer in the outside of the business and doing stuff and creating toys and selling it and stuff like that. But then again, you get to, like, if you create something like, you know, now with the Masters of the Universe, the documentary that's been being made, and they talk about, you know, the two guys who claim the creation of the line, it's like, I couldn't create a line like that and then sell it to Mattel and sell all of my rights to it. It's like, fuck that, you know? I couldn't do it. But I you know, if I was a painter or something, sure, I'd work in the industry. I don't know how well paid I'd be, but...
Well, since that's over in China, probably not very
well, but you know, there's a lot of guys that do painting that paint the
prototypes
samples, and all that shit.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. Yeah,
yeah. So, no, just in the basic toy industry though, like working for Mattel or Hasbro, fuck that.
I don't think so.
Piss on that. It's too much of a headache. You know,
it's like a real job.
I've already lost a good chunk of my hair at the top of my head, which is if anyone wonders why I wear my hat all the time in the videos, it's because if I leaned forward, you would see a giant bald spot. Not that I'm embarrassed by it. It's just uncomfortable to think. I'm only 35. Dave's older than me, and he's got all of his hair.
I was just about to say that the last time I got my hair cut, she held up the mirror behind my thing, and we have... My mother's family has the Carol bald spot, which is like the red spot on Jupiter. And like I was like, oh my God, I see the Carol bald spot.
Well, I knew it was getting bad when I wear my headphones at work, and I'd come home and I'd be like, why is the top of my head? It feels so tender. I'm like, it hurts. I realize it's because my headphones are rubbing into my bald spot. I'm like, oh, this sucks. So, I don't know. I'd lose more of my hair. Like, most of my hair has already gone gray, and I've lost some of it because of my retail year. So, I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah. So, looks like two no's.
Yes. Count Marzo.
Hey.
Says, okay, I got another one for you guys. You didn't have one this week for us. What do you mean another one? What the hell's wrong with you, Marzo? I got to come find you, smack some sense into you.
He just meant another one. He meant another one in general.
Oh, okay.
Down, boy. Down.
I take it all back, Marzo.
Boy.
Big hugs.
You're like a rabid dog, man.
Love you. I know. I'm sorry.
A little bit of pain. We got to put you down.
Sorry. Apologize.
I'm biting people.
I know. It's, I'm in discomfort, Marzo. I apologize. He says, what were/are your favorite toy commercials? I can't talk. Did they lead you to actually wanting a toy more than a cartoon, comic, or another form of media did? I ask this because, let's face it, we grew up in the 80s and were subjected to many brainwashing toy commercials on what few channels we had back then at a young age. It's funny, I still watch many of my favorite 80s commercials on YouTube once in a while, yet I despise the terrible, annoying HD commercials of today. As always, love D&D podcast. Look forward to a new one each week, even when you do your little 99 problems, but He-Man ain't one rap. That's the genius of Dave Draper. Ladies and gentlemen, raise a 40 to Dave Draper.
Well, I mean, I always liked the G.I. Joe commercials.
Right.
And I always thought, I mean, the cool thing about that, the story behind that, is that they were commercials for the comic book.
Well, they originated that way.
No, well, yeah, but that was the genius of it, because it was, there were strict rules back in the 80s of what you could show a toy doing.
Before they took away, like...
But yeah, I mean, they've eased up on them, but they still have kind of rules, and there'll be, like, little captions that you know, requires hand support,
yes.
Or product does not do this.
Yes.
But they were real strict back then. You couldn't show it doing anything like that. So Hasbro went to Marvel and said, tell you what, you make a comic book that features our toys, and we'll do an animated commercial for the comic.
Yes.
Which will show the stuff doing all kinds of amazing things.
Yes.
So, I mean, I just admire the chutzpah of that whole concept.
Yeah, it was very, very ballsy for the 80s. It was a good way for them to find a way around that. You know, and then once they kind of relaxed the strict... broadcasting standards for what toy commercials could be. You know, they couldn't be, you know, they couldn't be a commercial for a toy, you know, it's crazy shit.
Yeah.
You know, once they relaxed that, we got a lot of great commercials, you know. I remember the old, you know, I like to go back and watch the old, the late 70s, 80s, the early 80s Star Wars commercials, because those were always a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Because they were always kids having new adventures that had nothing to do with the movie.
Well, yeah, but you couldn't, you know, that was always the weird irony of the Star Wars toy line, is you couldn't. I mean, no kid had, you know, 900 stormtroopers.
No.
And you really couldn't have, like, all the vehicles. And even if you did, there was stuff missing.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So it was like, you had to make up your own adventures. That's what I always thought was so cool about Star Wars. And that's one of the things I loved is that we had our own, you know, you went home and had your own Star Wars.
Yes.
And I've always thought that's one of the reasons that the Star Wars fandom is so possessive about it. You know, I mean, there's this big push and pull between us and George Lucas of you know, who owns Star Wars. And I think part of that is because Lucas did kind of sell us.
Yeah.
You know, Star Wars. He sold us the right to make our own Star Wars. And so we do feel like we own a part of it.
Yes.
A little off topic, but,
No,
it's one of those grand theories that I've had for a long time.
I mean, other than that, there were a lot of, you know, Transformer commercials were always fun with the little kids with the glowy eyes. Robot in disguise. I always loved those. I loved the old Hasbro WWF commercials with the wrestlers in the background as the kids were wrestling in the ring. Those were always fun.
I like the Definitely Dinosaurs commercial.
Yes.
Play school dinosaurs. They're big and strong and tough. I can play with them real rough.
Yes.
Rah! Scared ya, didn't I?
Dino Riders commercials were always cool. There were a lot of, I mean, you know, every toy line in the 80s had a really cool commercial, I think.
Yeah.
I think they were genius for their time, but you know, you talk about today's HD toy commercials, and when I watch Nickelodeon or watch Disney XD or something, you see them every once in a while. I don't see nearly as many toy commercials as I did, not even a Cartoon Network.
No, I know, yeah.
There aren't as many toy commercials out now. You know, the Thundercats ones I actually had to watch online because I never saw them on air, never saw them. That's not to say they didn't run them, they weren't on there. I just never physically saw them personally.
Well, I know that Hasbro didn't even bother with Star Wars for years because their attitude was, hey, it's Star Wars.
Right, exactly.
Why spend money in advertising?
Yeah. I don't know, toy commercials to me are still toy commercials, whether they're from the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, or even the 50s and 60s, because there were a lot of toy commercials then.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the G.I. Joe commercials from the 60s were grand. They were like these grand epics.
They were epic,
spectacular. You know, toy commercials, I'm a fan of any toy commercial, just like I'm a fan of any animated format, whether it's good or bad. You know, if it's a television series, I'm a fan of it. You know, it's just, it's one of those things where I think we have our favorites. You know, we all grew up in the 80s. We have our favorites. I respect the stuff they're doing today because, you know, eventually, you know, we've talked about before, and I'm doing quotes here, hopefully, in the future, that these kids that are growing up now with Beyblade, Monster High, and all that, once they get a little older and start getting jobs and wanting their toys again, they'll leave our shit the fuck alone and it'll go down. You know, maybe as some of us die off, we'll have more options for toys to buy and not as many people. I'm sorry, I'm getting very...
You're looking at me like in a creepy kind of way, too. Yes. It's like, as some of us...
Yes.
Some of us die off, there'll be more in the supply.
Who are you leaving your toys to, Dave?
I don't know.
Because you got a good, what, 30 years still?
Maybe.
Counting the days!
I'm not really sure I would bet on that, frankly. The way I eat.
So. Oh, God. That's all I need to do is, like, you're supposed to come over for a podcast, iron for me, I go over, and you've, like, died in your chair. I'm like, oh, shit.
The dog waddles over to the door, their stomach full. It's like...
I'm like, well, that's not a good sign. Come to find out that she's eaten most of your face. I'm like, oh, Christ. I'm like, well, looks like Dave's getting
cremated. Circle of life.
God.
Better her than some neighbor dog.
And then no one can have her, because now that she's got a taste for the flesh, she's like gone nuts. You also go downstairs, she's got a taste for plastic, too. She's eating most of the toys down there. It's like, oh, God, it's horrible on both ends.
Actually, that's a brilliant idea. That's what I had to do, is I had to train her to eat plastic. And then, like, when I die, like, there'll be nothing to stop her from going down there and cleaning it out. No one will have it. We'll all be destroyed.
This show took a fucking morbid swing into the wrong direction real quick. Oh, Christ.
I blame Count Marzo.
That's all right. Thanks, Count Marzo. Thanks, everybody.
It'll be a while before you ask another one.
Yes. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out. I did forget to mention our sponsors at the start of this
episode. Yes, you did.
I'm sorry. It's all due to pain.
Would that be the Crazy Kings of Toys?
Yes, please support our sponsors, the Crazy Kings of Toys at www.crazykingsoftoys.com. You can check them out. They've got a lot of great stuff there, a lot of stuff going on. Please support our sponsors, the Crazy Kings of Toys. By supporting our sponsors, you support this show, and we are able to continue bringing this show to you for absolutely free, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing on every aspect of it. Be sure to check out toyworldorder.com. There hasn't been a lot going on there lately. Effin's on hiatus.
He's making rumblings, though.
Yeah, he is making rumblings. Effin's kind of been on hiatus the last couple weeks.
There's some stuff being worked on behind the scenes. It's just going slow because we're old and we're breaking down.
Yeah, well, not so much that.
Old and breaking down.
I've got a couple of great projects that I've been editing, trying to whittle down, edit the fat out of them, make it the most, you know, best thing I can make it for you guys. So there's some new stuff coming. You know, just stick with the site. You know, if anything, come by, listen to us every week.
Yeah.
Come by the forums, you know, talk it up. There's a lot of new people on the forums, which is great. I love that. I feel bad that I don't get on the forums nearly enough. I just never have the damn time. Because by the time I get off work, come home and relax and work for a little bit on videos, it's time for me to go to bed and do it all over again. So I get on there, pipe up. But thank you very much to everyone who's on the forums. Everyone new that's on there, Jansen, Horatio, thank you very much, guys, for hanging out, talking toys. Dave's on there pretty much as possible. Marzo's on there quite a bit. You know, Bowspear, Oz, you know, Wheeler, all those guys. Mike Lacey's been chatting it up. Chris Bent when he gets a chance. Thank you, everyone, for making the forums a nice, comfy place to hang out. Make sure you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow Toy World Order at Toy World Order on Twitter. You can follow this show at Dave and Duvall, or you can follow myself at Puppet Duvall. You know, so check us out. Check us out on Twitter. Dave doesn't do Twitter. You can find him on Facebook. Look for Dave Draper.
Yeah.
He'll have to approve you as a friend.
Yep.
Dave's just not one of those cool people who tweets. He should.
Meh.
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 No Twitter for Dave?
Meh.
Oh, so sad.
Meh.
So sad, Dave.
Man, it was bad enough I had to do Facebook. I got drag kicking and screaming into that.
But, you know, something for you guys to look forward to in 2 weeks, we're going to have a special guest on the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
We're going to have one of the gentlemen from MTV Geek.
Okay, cool.
On the show, the very cool Jason Stevens is agreed to grace us with his Midwestern presence. He's actually from near us. I believe he's in Kentucky.
Hmm.
So he's pretty close to us. But he will be on the show in 2 weeks to chat up toys. I'm sure we'll bring up, if anyone follows him on Twitter, you'll have to excuse me, his Twitter, you can follow him at Lemon Juice McGee on Twitter is Jason Stevens' Twitter handle. Very cool gentleman. He's been doing a lot of bitching about the Turtles, so I'm sure we'll talk greatly about that because he's a huge fan of that show. And very, very adamantly against what Bay has proposed to do. So I'm sure that'll come up in conversations in a couple weeks. You know, as always, check us out. We're here every Thursday with a brand new episode, unless Dave or I die.
Which is a possibility.
It could happen. You never know.
Yeah.
If Dave's dog does happen to eat most of his face, I'll tweet a pic of it.
Okay.
Just so you guys know. It's today's social media. Be like, look what happened to Dave. It's horrible. But again, as I said, since I didn't mention them at the start, please follow our sponsors, the Crazy Kings of Toys. They are a great, great, great website. You know, kind of harkens back to the old mom and pop days of toy stores. They've got some great deals on there. They sell some great products. So check them out if you haven't checked them out already. Please support them. By supporting them, as I said, you support us. And that, ladies and gentlemen, will wrap up another week of David Navall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com. I apologize for the kind of the short show. We usually try to go 2 hours, but
yeah, he's sick.
I'm just not feeling it today. I'm in some pain.
Yeah.
So, but we'll be back here next week with a whole new show with some new products, you know, new stuff to talk about. Like I said, if you guys have any questions, comments, concerns you want to leave for us, go to the forums at ToyWorldOrder.com. Join. It's absolutely free. You can leave questions for the show. You can comment with the other fans. You can check out everything else going on there. Or every week, if you follow one of us on Twitter, you'll see me tweet, we're recording tonight, send your questions, and we will answer them here on the air every week, as we always do. So, ladies and gentlemen,
I'm Dave.
I'm Duvall.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Toy Bar's closed, people. Pack up, get out. Love you. See you next week.